Good morning. It is a blessing to be here. And as Cameron said, number 70 will be the song of invitation after our lesson today. Your destiny. Where are you going to wind up when this life on this earth is over? That's one reality check I think we all need to think about. This life will, for all of us, come to an end. Then we will be in one of two places for all eternity. You have the choice as to where that eternal state, condition, existence will be. Where will your destiny be for all eternity? That's up to you. Because of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, He has extended to us a way of salvation, a way of everlasting life. He has made the provisions for us because of His love, and that provision is in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As the prophet of old, Moses, said in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Let me also say this, okay? Your choice does not only affect you. It has far-reaching consequences. If you choose to reject God and His provision of salvation, how is that going to affect your children and your children's children and those that are around you? Your destiny, your choice will also affect the others around you. What about their destiny? Something that we need to think about. Going back, Carl read this. I want to read it again. Just make a couple of very quick observations and then move on. And look at some other passages relating to this idea and the concept of our destiny being our choice. See, I have set before you today life and death, life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Now this was speaking to the children of Israel, and it has reference to a type or a shadow in the Old Testament. The land of Canaan was a picture of eternal life that's promised to those who are in Christ. You see, you have this Old Testament shadow. But the same principles are going to be applicable to us as it was for them to inherit that physical land. In order for them to continue to dwell in that land, what did they have to do? They had to, number one, love the Lord your God. Jesus said in Mark 12 and verse 29, the first and great commandment is what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the first and great commandment. So you love the Lord your God to walk in His ways. That is, you walk in accordance with what He says, to keep His commandments. That's what it means to walk in His ways. Keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments. You know, there are the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. And there are do this and live. And there are those statements that instruct by necessary implications. There are examples in the scripture of those who do what is right, and so we have these examples set before us in scripture. We have the divine advice that's given over and over and over for our well-being, wisdom that is taught in the Word of God. Are we going to listen? Or are we going to say, no, I'm going to do it my way? If we do His will, then we will be blessed, just as they were blessed. He says in verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. By the way, we can be guilty of the same thing, not by simply making something out of wood or metal or stone or plastic and falling down and worship. That's not the idea. We make an idol when we make ourselves God, when we do our own thing, when we want to put something else in this world above serving God. Whatever that is our idol. That is our God. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You can't serve God and mammon, Jesus said. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. Now, this is a sure thing. This is a promise by God. He's not going to go back on it. You serve him, he'll bless you. You don't serve him, you choose the way yourself of death. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. Listen, here's the point. God is life, and all who are in him are alive by virtue of being in him. By being separated from him, that is death. That's our choice. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord your Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God's going to keep his word. If you follow him, then you will have life. You know, years later, the children of Israel, after 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, they come to the land of Canaan again for the second time. And this actually wasn't too long after Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30 set before the children life and death. Passage that we just read. Well, after the land had been conquered, basically, all but just a little bit, and the children of Israel refused to do all that God said in that regard, and it caused many problems for them down the road. But getting to the end of Joshua's life now, this is what he says in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, the idea is, okay, that if this is too hard for you, if this is too difficult to you, if you don't want to do it, if that seems to be the wrong choice for you, well, that's your choice. A lot of people make that choice. But he says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You know, a lot of people think that it's easier to serve myself and serve other people and to serve things. That is a choice that appears to be easier and better. But it's not. It's not. But you still have the choice. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had made his choice, and he's calling upon the people to make the choice. Now the people respond by saying, we will serve the Lord. And in fact, throughout Joshua's lifetime and the lifetime of those elders of the people, the children of Israel served the Lord. But after that, they fell away. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. In 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, in verses 20 through 21, now this is on down the historical line of things. Israel now had a king whose name was Ahab, whose wife is Jezebel. And they are idolaters, big time. They have incorporated Baal into their regular worship. In fact, they had 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah had already pronounced a curse against Ahab. And we have an example of their butting heads together. Ahab thought that Elijah was the troubler of Israel, remember? Because Elijah had declared that there would be no rain, a drought in the land. And so Ahab and Elijah have had their conflicts. Ahab was wicked. And a lot of that had to do with his wife Jezebel. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. You know, we have the same choice today. If God is God, follow him. Now, if you think that there's a better way, that's your choice. You need to think about the consequences of your choice. What will the end of that choice be? There's going to be an end of this life on this earth. Then you have eternity. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 7, verse 13. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." That is eternal ruin. "And there are many who go in by it." Why? That's the easy way. That's the simple way. That's the downhill way. You rather go downhill or uphill? That's the downhill path. You can get up, put on a pair of roller skates, just slide right down. And it's easy. "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life." That is, you have to buck the grain. You have to go against the grain. You have to go upstream. It's not as some false teachers out there today proclaim, that you just let go and let God and just lay back and float down the river of life. My friend, that is error. That is false teaching. The way to life is difficult. It is hard because it is the way of truth. The way of truth is hard, because it's going to shape us and mold us into who God wants us to be, which is going to be contrary to what everybody else wants us to be and what the world is. It's going to be different even from our own desires. We're going to have to be humble and allow God to work on us and mold us. And that's going to be requiring activity on our part and due diligence. I mean, we have to put in the effort ourselves to submit to God's will, the truth. There's few that find it. Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey?" Jesus said, "Those who commit sin are slaves of sin." Well, we make that choice. Are we going to be a slave to sin, or are we going to be a slave to righteousness? He says, "You are that one slave whom you obey." Okay, do we obey the Lord or do we obey sin? Whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to life. See, that's our choice. Are we going to choose sin or are we going to choose obedience? Sin, by the way, is what? Transgression of God's law. If I choose sin, I'm choosing to do my own thing instead of following God's commandments. I'm not loving God. I'm not serving God. I need to choose obedience, which leads to righteousness. That is the right standing before God. I'm justified in the sight of God because he forgives me of my sins through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I am declared accepted by him. But how is that accomplished? Through faith. Through a faith that acts and obeys. Obedience leads to that right standing before God. "But God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You sincerely submitted your will to God's will. And because of that, you have made yourself a slave or a servant of righteousness. And because of that, now you have the hope of life." Sin leads to death. Obedience leads to life. And that's your choice. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness, servants of what is right. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. It's your responsibility. Who are you going to give yourself to? Who are you going to obey? The Lord or not? Many choices have far-reaching and eternal consequences. Some choices aren't that important. We'll talk about that in a second, but many choices are very important. It sets us on a course. It puts us in a direction that either goes away from God or a direction that goes to God. Direction is very important. And when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to serving God, listen, I want you to get this. We are free to choose, but we are not free not to choose. We are free to choose God, but by not making an active choice, a participating choice per se, by just saying, maybe, well, I don't know, or maybe saying, well, maybe later, in reality, what are we still saying? No. That's what we're saying. We have the right to choose, the freedom to choose, but we do not have the freedom not to choose. If we pass on God, we're still saying no. And we are not free to choose the consequences of our choice. Listen, the consequences are established. It is what it is. The end of following God's will, going down that straight and narrow path of truth, is going to lead to life. There's no changing that. That's the end of that road. That's where the road of truth will take you, my friend. Life. Or you can choose the other road. What's the end of that road? The end of that road is death. We are not free to choose the consequences of our choices. The choices are ours to make, but the consequences are what they are. Can't change it. So we got a choice to make. Choose the way of life or the way of death. The way of life, Jesus, is presented in the Scripture in the New Testament as the way of life. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way of life. I am the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. This is that straight and narrow path. It's through Jesus and Him alone. No other way. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32. Jesus is the truth, and He is the life. He is the one who has brought the truth down from the Father, and He has revealed it to us. Jesus is the truth. The gospel. The gospel is the way of life. The gospel, the word gospel, means good news. It is good news to mankind that we can be saved from our sins and saved from eternal condemnation. We can be saved through the gospel message. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God of salvation unto all that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power to save us from corruption. And Galatians 1, 6 through 9, there is no other gospel. It's only one. It's only one gospel of good news, and that's Jesus Christ and His message. True doctrine, that is the message of Jesus Christ, the truth. Acts 2 and verse 42, the disciples, the first disciples, what did? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in prayers. They continued in what the apostles taught. Now, the apostles were the assigned, the appointed messengers of Jesus Christ to reveal His will to mankind. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and 19. That was their responsibility, and they did that. And if we're going to be in the way, the truth, and the life, then we must follow the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9. Whoever abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. We have the one body, the church. That is the saved. That's what the church is. That's what the body is. It's the saved. The saved were added to the church daily. Acts 2:47. The body, the one body of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, the church of our Lord and Savior, the body of Christ, is what he established. It was established on the day of Pentecost when men and women were added to it, some 3,000 souls. And it continued to grow as the gospel was preached, and throughout the world, souls were added to the one body of Christ. And he is the head of the body, and he is the Savior of the body. We must be in that body, in the body of Christ. The standard is the Scripture. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. That's the standard. If you want to be pleasing to the Lord, you follow his word. If you truly want to be accepted by God, you follow his word. If you want to be in Christ, you follow his word. If you want to go to heaven, my friend, you must follow his word. Someone in a discussion the other night told me that they believe the Bible, they believe every word of it from beginning to end. I said, that's good. That's a great starting place. Because what we all need to realize is that we need to accept the truth of God's word regardless of where it leads us. We must allow God's word to lead us. And if we all followed God's word, if we all accepted God's truth, where will we all wind up? Same place. But here's the difficulty, here's the problem that so often happens. Somewhere along the line, we're able to accept this and this and this, but wait a minute, we get to a point where we say, I don't think I want to accept that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to believe that, because if I believe that, then that's going to condemn my family or my friends. And so we get to a point where we have to make a choice regarding the truth itself. Are we going to accept it or reject it? The way of life is to accept it. It's our choice. The truth is narrow. And of course, on the opposite side of this, the way of death is any other way than the truth. Any other way. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. That is his authority in submitting to him. Any other so-called gospel is not going to lead you to heaven. And there are a lot of so-called gospels out there today. There's the health and wealth gospel. There are so many different kinds of gospels out there that people are buying into. Any so-called gospel that's not the gospel. Any other doctrine, Jesus said, that they worshiped him in vain who taught as doctrines the commandments of men. My friend, listen, everything that we hear taught, that's what doctrine is, by the way, teaching. Teaching. Is it from heaven or is it from man? That's the question that Jesus asked when he was being challenged in Matthew chapter 21, the baptism of John. Where was it from? From heaven or from men? They recognized the force of his question. They knew that if they said, well, of heaven, then the question is, why didn't you obey it? If the answer is of men, then they feared the people because they all thought that it was from heaven. Well, they were in a dilemma. What we need to do is simply accept that which is from heaven. Is it from God? Is it found in the Scripture? Any other body? Any other body than the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or any other standard? Any other standard? There's one standard that we're to follow. Anything else? Whether it be the Book of Mormon, whether it be the Quran, whatever other book you want to bring into the mix, well, it's not going to take you to heaven, but the Bible will. That's our choice. And, you know, we have two choices when it comes to those things. We have the choice to accept or reject. We have the choice to obey or rebel. To believe or not believe. That's the response that we are called to have. We either believe in Christ or we don't, right? Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. In John 3 and verse 18, Jesus there says, those who do not believe in Him, they are condemned already. But he who believes has everlasting life. Obey the gospel. In Romans 10 and verse 13, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul quoting from Joel, the second chapter. And he says in verse 13, but how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But as Isaiah says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For who hath believed their report? For as Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? Paul's conclusion is, because they have not believed, they have not obeyed. If they have not obeyed, they do not believe. If they do not believe, they do not obey. You can't separate those concepts. If I believe, I have obeyed. If I have not believed, I have not obeyed. Or not obey the gospel. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that what? Know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from his presence and from his power. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. Well, if the judgment begins with us, those who are God's people, what will become of those? What will happen to those who have not obeyed the gospel? The answer is rhetorical, or the question is rhetorical. The answer is obvious. Act with divine authority. We've got a choice. Are we going to believe Jesus? Are we going to obey Jesus? Are we going to truly submit to his will? And I think this is a big, big, important point that so many people miss. Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So many have the idea today, well, God didn't say I couldn't do it. The Bible doesn't say you can't do it. The Bible doesn't say you'll go to hell if you do it. We can keep going on and on and on endlessly. Of people, you know, in their concepts of, well, I don't have to have divine authority for what I do. That's really the bottom line. But in reality, the Bible says that we are to follow what God says, not what he doesn't say. We're to follow what he says. We're to do what he says, and we are not to do what he says not to do. And the Bible does establish principles, divine principles that are true and irrefutable. And we must accept the teaching of the Scripture. Everything that we do has a source. Is it from God? Is it from heaven? Or is it from men? We need to ask that question. You know, in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu, they offered fire to God. They were authorized priests, so they were authorized to offer this incense, burn incense. They were the priests, children of Aaron. It was the right day. It was the right time. Everything was right except for one thing. They got fire to burn their incense from a place which God had not commanded. They did something that God, now God didn't say, thou shalt not get fire from there. God didn't say that. God said, you get fire from the altar. That excluded every other origin of fire that a man could find. And Nadab and Abihu simply got fire from a place where God had not commanded. And they burned incense and God sent fire from heaven and destroyed them. And the proclamation was, as it was explained to Aaron, that those who come before God, who approach Him, must count Him as holy. And we don't do that when we do what we want to do instead of what God says. We must submit our will to God and act by divine authority, not by what we want. You can list a whole bunch of things in this context, in application. Mechanical instrumental music. Where does the New Testament instruct us to do it? We're told what to do. We're told how to do it. Are we not content with simply doing what the Lord says? That's the question. Where is the divine authority for it? Well, put the Lord first or we don't. My friend, is the Lord first in your life? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you truly love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? When we try to serve God and mammon at the same time, we're kind of like those children of Israel back in the days of Ahab and Elijah coming before them at Mount Carmel. And he says, why halt ye between two opinions? You see, they never stopped worshiping God. They never stopped completely offering sacrifices to the Lord. They just offered sacrifices to Baal too. Can't do that. But you know what? A lot of people in this world are trying to do exactly that. They have not destroyed the altars of selfishness and pride in their own lives. They have not destroyed their covetous desires for financial gain and for money and for stuff and for entertainment and for recreation. And they've allowed all these things to crowd out their love for God and their devotion to God. And tell me how that is truly putting God first. We're going to have but one of two responses to God's will for our life. We're either going to obey it or we're not. There is a choice in everything you do. You have to make in everything you do. And you must always keep in mind the choice you make makes you. And when it comes to choosing God or things of this world, believe you me, the choice makes you or breaks you. Now, just in a few minutes, we've got the important points made. Choosing God or not choosing God. You have a choice, you have the right, the freedom to make a choice, but you do not have the freedom not to make that choice. Because you're going to make a choice one way or the other. And you cannot change the consequences of that choice. But now, as far as other choices go, we need to realize that our choice to serve God affects every other choice in our life. How do we make choices every day, in everyday circumstances in life? How do we determine between the essential and the non-essential, the important and the less important? How do we make decisions in our everyday life? Well, surely we should think about it from the perspective of, is this necessary? Do I have to do this in order to please God? Some things are essential. Some things God says are absolutely essential. We must do them. Someone says, well, I don't think that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. What does the Bible say? What does the Lord Jesus say? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's not a point that we can disagree on and say everything's okay about. It's not. It's an essential. Worshiping God, serving God, putting Him first, all that's essential. But there are some things that are beneficial and some things that are helpful. Some things are of no consequence. The suit that I wore this morning, the color of tie, that no consequence to that, those choices as far as my spiritual life is concerned. But there are other things that we choose that are going to hinder our service to God, make things harder for us in our life. We place ourselves in circumstances that make serving God more difficult. Or we can place ourselves in circumstances where serving God is easier. We got to make that choice. In fact, we can make choices that will place our lives in a position where we can't serve God as we should. So every choice that we make, you know what? We need to ask these questions. Is it essential? Is it necessary for me to do this in order to please God or not do this in order to please God? Or is it just beneficial? I mean, is it going to help me? Now, we always ought to do those things that are helpful, right? We should do those things that benefit our spiritual life instead of doing things that make it harder. Make sense? What will help us reach our goal? What is it that drives our decisions? Is it temporal things? Is it human wisdom? You know, in other words, the things that we see here, smell, taste, and touch, things are right here. Are those the things that drive our decisions? We just live like the animals, do whatever comes natural. What about human wisdom? You know, Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil or somebody, they're the ones who are giving us our information that we're going to accept. They are smart folks now. Better listen to them. Tradition, wisdom. This is the way my parents have done it, my grandparents have done it, my great-great-grandparents, and all the way down the line. We've always been this particular religion or that religion, and we've always done this and we've done that. My friend, that doesn't make it right. What is it that drives our decisions? Our history? We have done these things and we've done that, and so I can't really change? No, we can change if it's necessary to please God to change. We can change. We need to change if that's the case. What about our feelings or emotions? I posted on Facebook last week. Now, whenever we allow our emotions to drive our decisions, we will always wind up far, far away from where we need to be. Our emotions are very dangerous. You've heard me say it many times. We need to have faith-based emotion instead of emotion-based faith. And so many people have emotion-based faith. They make their decisions, their doctrinal conclusions, their belief system is based upon how they feel about something instead of what God says about it. Now, if we believe what God says about something, we believe what God says, then how's that going to cause us to feel? It's going to cause us to feel happy and joyful when we comply with that. But so many people, their whole faith system is based on how they feel. What is it that drives our decision? Well, I just feel like if I do this, I'll feel better. I feel like if I do this, I'll think clearer. I feel like if I do this, that'll be all right. What is it that drives our decisions? I hope it's God's word. Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That renewing of the mind comes through an understanding of God's will that He's revealed to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Our decision to follow God or not affects every other decision we make, doesn't it? Wise decision-making is in direct correlation to the degree in which we respect, love, and trust God and understand His revealed will. So if I have a breakdown in my understanding of His will, or if I have a breakdown in my trusting God, or if I have a breakdown in my love, I don't love God, He's really not first in my life, or I really don't fear Him, I'm more afraid of what men say than what God. Whatever it may be, if I have a breakdown in any of these areas, it's going to negatively affect my decision making. Can we see that? Paul says in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, for though by now at this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What is our level of knowledge of God's word? What is our level of growth in Scripture, in understanding scriptural principles, and being able to properly apply them? In order to make wise decisions in accordance with God's will, we need to have proper respect for God, a proper knowledge of His word. We have to purpose in our hearts. Daniel did in Daniel 1 and verse 8. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's dandies or meat. Requires purpose. It requires faith and trust in God. It requires preparation. I have to put in the time and the effort. And it's a process. It's not something that I get all at once. And it requires diligence. It requires constant going over and refreshing and continuing to apply the principles of God's will in my life. And the more I practice God's will in my life, the more I serve Him, the more I obey Him, the more I read and I study and I learn and I obey, I read, I study, I learn and I obey, the stronger I get, the more mature I get, and the better I am equipped to make decisions. What about the friends that we choose? Will they help us or harm us? What about the spouse that we choose? Will it she or he helped me get to heaven? What about where I live and work? Job, he made a foolish decision, didn't he? He placed his family in the vicinity of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it cost him his family. Where we live and where we work, does that help or hurt? What about my time? How do I spend it in prayer and watching? And how do I spend my activities? Do I do the things that are helpful and are beneficial to me spiritually? Or am I focused more on physical things? How do I use my time in associating with other people? What about my worship? Am I faithful? Do I attend all the services of the church? Because they are designed to strengthen me spiritually. That's the purpose. How do I spend my time studying God's word? We need to redeem the time, for the days are evil, Paul said. So, your initial choice, great, if you choose to follow God, I hope that that has been a choice you've made in the past. If you haven't made that choice, then I hope that you'll make it now. Maybe you've made the choice in the past and you haven't followed through with it. You have stopped following God somewhere along the way. You need to rededicate yourself and you need to remake that choice and commit to it. Okay, so choose to follow God and then determine, commit yourself to grow spiritually, to come to a better understanding of biblical principles that is to guide your life and your decisions. Choose yourself to grow. It's not just going to happen. You have to make the choice, then walk in accordance with what God's word says. Our understanding of the biblical principles will enter into every decision that we make, and we'll be able to make wise decisions, decisions that are beneficial and obedient to God's will. And at the end, the result will be joy, true eternal bliss, eternal rest, heaven, the presence of God. It's our choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You've got heaven and you've got hell. You've got a choice to make. Are you going to choose to follow Jesus? Or are you going to say no? Are you going to come to Him because He is meek and lowly in heart? He provides rest. Or are you going to say no? Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Are you going to say, okay, I'll die in my sins? Or are you going to say, no, I believe. Are you going to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Or are you going to say no? See, your choice. Like Felix in Acts 26 and chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. Felix told Paul, go away, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for it. That was no. Agrippa told Paul in Acts 26 and verse 28, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. That was a no. What is your choice? What will happen to those who do not know God and that do not obey the gospel? It's your choice. You have a choice to make. You're free to choose. But you're not free not to choose. You are choosing today either to follow Christ or not. You cannot change the consequences of your choice. Your choice and your choices following that choice will take you either to heaven or hell. But wherever you wind up, whatever your destiny is, your choice. And I pray and I hope that right now today you make the wise, right, good choice for you. If we can help you in any way this morning, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins or whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?